views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 1-800-930-2819 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show app at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it is my pleasure to be with you today. So I have a question for you. What if everything you were taught to believe about this life and beyond was wrong? And what if you discovered that your mind and your consciousness existed before you entered your body, and that your consciousness will continue to exist after you leave your body? How might this knowledge alter the way you live and love now? And how might your heart and your relationships expand as a result of your embracing this wider consciousness? So I want you to get ready. Fasten your seatbelts, because we're going to have a mind-expanding discussion with my special guest, Tom Campbell, who began researching altered states of consciousness with Bob Monroe of Journeys Out of the Body, Far Journeys, and The Ultimate Journey. He began doing this research at Monroe Laboratories in the early 1970s, where he and a few others were instrumental in getting Monroe's laboratory for the study of consciousness up and running. These early drug-free consciousness pioneers helped design experiments, developed the technology for creating specific altered states, and were the main subjects of study, the guinea pigs, if you will, at the same time. Now, Tom is the TC physicist described in Bob Monroe's second book, Far Journeys. And Tom has been a serious explorer of the frontiers of reality, mind, consciousness, and psychic phenomena for the last 40 years. Using his acquired mastery of the out-of-body experience as a research tool, Campbell focused his work toward discovering the outer boundaries, inner workings, and causal dynamics of the larger reality frame. And the result of his research unites the worlds of objective and subjective experience under one scientific explanation, thus achieving the goal of generating one unified, comprehensive theory of everything, which he calls TOE, that bridges metaphysics and physics with one scientific understanding. In February 2003, Tom published the book My Big Toe and its trilogy, MBT, which represents the results and conclusions of his scientific exploration of the nature of existence. And this overarching model of reality, mind, and consciousness explains the paranormal as well as the normal, places spirituality, and it places spirituality within a scientific context. Well, I'm not going to go on much more, because I could go on describing his amazing research and writing, but I'm going to just let you meet Tom, and we're going to just take off from there. Are you with me, Tom, or did I kill you there with that intro?
I'm with you, Jamie. Thank you very much for inviting me on your program. I'm pleased to be here.
Me too. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, you were so cool about saying, let's wing it. Let's just go wherever we want to go. And it occurred to me that one place that would be really great to go with you is to talk about my own experience, as I describe in my Hay House memoir, Love Never Dies, my own amazing experiences and ongoing experiences with my husband's manifestations that continue to this day, and see if you, as a quantum physicist, could put science behind what I'm talking about. Would you be up for that?
Oh, sure. That's the advantage of having a theory of everything, is that you can just wing it, because it's about everything. So let's just go with that. And you ask the questions, and I'll try to say something that your listeners will find easy to understand.
Well, you know, the thing is, because, you know, I know how crazy busy you are. You probably haven't had a chance to hear about my story. Now, the thing you need to know first is that my husband, for most of his life, Tom, had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests. And he actually taught at the Vatican. And he founded a movement called Liberation Theology, designed to fight church oppression from within. And he launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce. And he didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused. He was a radical Jesuit feminist priest. Mm-hmm. So he fought on the grounds of religious freedom. And he won, and he changed the course of Italian history, got the divorce bill passed. And soon after, the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows, and he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood. Now, from the time I was a young girl, I began having premonitions of the guy that I was going to marry. I saw Jean fleshed out. I saw his face. I saw his body. So I decided I'm just going to wait until this man that I see appears in my life. Now, on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College, I'd been shut out of all intro to sociology, and I went to the department chair's secretary, Judy, and I said, "How can I get into sociology?" She says, "Go talk to Jean Pin, the department chair, and see what he can do for you." Well, Tom, the minute I stepped into his body, I had an out-of-body experience. Now, I didn't know what this was. I felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life, and then I shot back into my body where I received the message, "Remember every aspect of this meeting. He's going to be everything to you one day." And then I forgot all about it. 4 years later, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis, and I had heard that, among other things, Jean had been a statistician, having founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So even though he wasn't my advisor, Tom, I asked him if he would help me with my statistics, and he said yes. And within a couple of weeks, we knew. We were absolute soulmates. We were twins separated at birth, and we were crazy for each other. And we spent the next 30 years, 27 years to be exact, crazy for each other and together, writing books together and just enjoying and rejoicing in every moment we spent together. Now, in the last year of his life, we both privately began having premonitions that he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where. We went to Italy on our final vacation. And we are sitting on the beach. His hand is up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. And the next thing I know, a bee swoops down and stings him at the exact location of Christ's stigmata. And Tom, I watch my beloved suffocate to death in front of my eyes from the bee sting. This is so traumatizing, I can't describe it. Now, I go back to the hotel, and I'm lying in the bed, and I'm shaking, and I'm trembling, and I'm crying. And the next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. And I sit bolt upright because I know what I felt. I'm not imagining this. And I look over my shoulder, and I do not see anything, but he was there in spirit form, and he has been with me ever since. And he has made such astounding manifestations of his presence to this day in front of witnesses that prove to me we don't die, and therefore our relationships aren't meant to end in death. And this is why I created my new grief therapy method, where I show people how to reconnect with their loved ones and how to make peace if needed. So the thing I wanted you to bring science to is, how does this happen? Because, you know, people, you know, have said, "Oh, this is your imagination," but when he does it in front of people, or it's a byproduct of grieving, he does it in front of people. Every interview I give, he makes the interviewer hear his voice speaking after I speak, or he does all kinds of crazy things. So can you speak to this and let everybody listening understand, you know, demystify it, explain it in scientific terms?
Okay. Yes, I can. It's not really an easy thing to explain quickly, because there's a lot of things you have to understand in order to derive it logically. Okay, there's a lot of logic we have to go through, and don't have time to do that in such a short time span. But mm-hmm. I can kind of skip over the top of things and give you an idea how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just start with the idea that this is a virtual reality. Mm-hmm. That means that our reality is not, the hard physical matter and time and space that we think it is. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's based on information. Now, many of your readers will think, well, that's kind of a way out, wacky idea. But this concept of virtual reality has gone from out on the extreme fringe about a decade ago, where there was maybe half dozen people who took it seriously, to probably the fastest growing concept or movement inside of physics happening today. In all the physics departments everywhere on the planet, you will find a substantial number of people who indeed think this is a virtual reality. In other words, that our reality is based on information. It's an idea whose time has come, and the reason its time has come is that in the last decade, experiment after experiment done in the physics lab can only be explained if this reality is based on information, if it's a virtual reality. The old paradigms, ways of looking at reality, just can't produce the answers. Whereas if you think of it as information, then the experiments make sense.
So Tom, we have 1 minute in this first segment that's left. Are you talking about what you're calling the holographic model?
No, it's not the holographic model. That's a little differently. I mean, okay. A little different idea, but it's a similar idea. It's the idea that our reality is a virtual reality. It's created. It's produced by a computer, if you will. It's a simulation. That's the fundamental thought here. Now, that it's holographic in nature, that's a metaphor. It's not really so much a fact, but it's used as a metaphor. And I don't really ascribe to that metaphor. I think it's more confusing than it is enlightening. But mm-hmm. the idea is similar. The holographic idea is also based on information. So it's a similar idea, but different in the way that it works.
Now, you know, right after Jean left his body, one of the first things he said to me, and I'm going to tell you this, and then we can take a break and we can talk more about this virtual reality concept. He said to me, Jamie, what makes you think the realm where you are isn't the illusion and the realm where I am isn't the reality?
Right. And
that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So let's take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, so take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener, so if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the archive show on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with NASA scientist and author of My Big Toe Trilogy, Tom Campbell. So, Tom, before we took the break, you were talking about the virtual reality concept.
Yes.
And I had to interrupt. So was there more you wanted to say about that?
Oh, yes. This reality is a virtual reality. And as I mentioned, physics is very close to agreeing with that. And the experiments indicate that that indeed is a fact. Okay, now I want to talk just a minute about what that means. We're all familiar with virtual realities such as The Sims or World of Warcraft, mostly games that young people play. But a virtual reality is a virtual reality, and they all have to be similar in structure. Now, not in implementation, but in structure. And the structure of a virtual reality is that there are three components, only two of which are active. One is the computer that's making, you know, producing the simulation. The other is the simulation itself, the virtual world. And the third is the player, or the consciousness that plays an avatar in the virtual world. So those are the only three components, and the two that are active is the computer computing the simulation and the player. Okay, the virtual world itself is just data, you know, being computed in a computer. That's not really an active thing. It's just the information. Now, the computer that is creating, say, the World of Warcraft cannot be in the same reality frame as the World of Warcraft world. In other words, the computer cannot be in the same reality as the elf being a character inside the virtual reality of World of Warcraft. The computer has to be outside of that virtual reality because a virtual reality can't compute itself. So where it's computed has to be outside of the virtual reality it computes. Well, that's simple enough. Secondly, the player has to be in the same reality as the computer, because the player and the computer are basically exchanging information. That's what's going on. That's the active component. Computer and player have a data link, a data stream, and they exchange information. So here's what we have. What I've just said in summary is that the computer has to be non-physical to the elf. You see, the elf in the World of Warcraft, in that virtual reality, the computer has to be in some other reality that's not that virtual reality, so it is non-physical to the elf, and that the player, the consciousness that is telling that elf what to do and when to do it, that consciousness has to be in the same reality frame as the computer, which means the computer and the consciousness are in the same reality frame, which has to be non-physical from the perspective of inside the virtual reality, in other words, from the perspective of the elf. So right away, now we translate that back to our virtual reality and this virtual universe. We, our bodies, are just avatars, just computation, and so is all the rocks and the bushes and the computers and all the things that are in this physical reality. This entire universe is a computed virtual reality. But we are consciousness. And we and the computer have to be non-physical relative to the physical virtual reality. That's the way virtual realities work. So if you start with the assumption, which is now pretty close to being fundamental physics, that this is a reality based on information, that this is a virtual reality, then logic tells you that we, consciousness, and the computer, which I call the larger consciousness system, have to be non-physical to this virtual reality, you see, in another mm-hmm. reality frame. So mm-hmm. now that makes a real big difference, you see, to your story about you and your husband. If consciousness, the player, is playing these bodies as avatars, Okay, so your husband was right in those words he said. This physical universe is the illusion. What is real is consciousness. And consciousness is about information. You see, what makes you conscious of whatever you are doing now? Okay, you're listening, you're talking, you open your eyes, there's a screen in front of you, you're in a room. All of that is your reality that you're conscious of. And what is all that stuff? It's just information. Your senses take in information. They convert that information into electrical signals and impulses in your nervous system, which then creates patterns of neurons. All of that is just information, and you interpret that information as this reality. You see, what you see, all the things you visualize are just little voltage bumps on your nerves and then patterns of neurons. So that's just information, and it's digital information. Neurons are digital. Little pulses on your nerves are digital. They're discrete, is what digital means. So there we have the fundamental logic that says we, physical bodies, are just avatars. We, what we really are the consciousness, the player that tells that physical body what to do, how to do it, and so on. It's the thinking part.
So is this what we're calling non-local consciousness? You know, that the consciousness is not attached to the physical body. It is separate from the body. Is this?
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right. So the consciousness that is playing the body avatar is having basically a data stream between it and the computer. That's all that's going on. So just like in the World of Warcraft, your elf just stands there and doesn't do anything until you tell it to run or jump or fight or do whatever. It just stands there and doesn't do anything. You, the consciousness, are the director of its activity. And the only thing going on is the player and the computer are exchanging information. So that's the way it is. Our consciousness is not inside our head. It's not in our brain. It's not created by the brain. It is something that is outside of our physical reality system. It has a data stream connected to the computer, the server that's making the virtual reality, and it's just passing information back and forth between that server. And that's the way our reality works. And that's what physics experiments are telling us is the nature of our reality. And in my books and in my lectures, I take that back to where did it start? You know, what are the origins? How does it work? And why does it work that way? And all that sort of thing, which I don't have time for. But that's just the basic concept. So when you interact with someone who is deceased, basically, you, if you think of yourself as the body, is just, you know, that's just the avatar. It's you, the consciousness, that are interacting with some other consciousness. And you, consciousness, and some other consciousness are all part of this larger consciousness system, you see.
Yes.
So when an avatar dies, that just means that it's just like when your elf dies. When you're playing World of Warcraft and your elf dies, well, that's not a real big deal. You just go resurrect your elf, or you go
and
play another character.
I've seen like the metaphor of a turtle shedding its shell. You know, the shell being the metaphor of the physical body. When we leave our bodies, we just shed the shell, but everything else continues to exist. Our consciousness just goes on, and there was something I read that you said about after-death communications being very common immediately after someone leaves his body, but then after time passes, you said something about that this was a simulation based upon past actualized databases. So if I understand what you were thinking, that the energy, the consciousness of that being in spirit doesn't continue to send you communications. Now it's just your own computer, your own brain continuing to simulate data. Did I get that right?
Not quite. You got some of that right, but not quite. Basically, there's several ways in which you may communicate with the deceased, or you may communicate with people who have never been in this reality. There's all sorts of consciousness exist and interact in this larger consciousness system, and only some of them have ever been here in this physical virtual reality. So you can interact with any of these beings. But when it's one that's been here and then died, in that special case, it can be that you are talking directly with that consciousness, but most of the time it is not. It doesn't mean that it can't be. It just means that it's generally not the case. In your case, I would say that from my experience, you and your husband had this arranged before you ever even came here to this virtual reality and began.
I agree with
this. This was a plan that you had already worked out. You had the imprint of his face, of what he would look like. He had, no doubt, some sort of imprint about you and your personality and your character or what you looked like. And when you were with each other, all that resonance just happened. And, you know, from there on, this is a special case. This is not what is typical for most people. Now, it's not that uncommon for people to have plans and incarnate together, but that's probably in the margins if you just look at the vast, you know, experience of humanity. If you look at all, you know, 7.5 billion of us, it doesn't happen that often. Typically, a young consciousness that is just in the process of evolving at the beginning stages, it just jumps in and out of these virtual realities because it just needs experience. So it doesn't plan very much. It doesn't, kind of go in with others. It just jumps in wherever it lands, that's fine. You know, wherever it is in this virtual reality, whatever avatar it's playing, that's experience for it to gain. Now, after you've been around the block a few times and you have evolved to the point where there's special things that you want to do and special lessons that you need to learn and areas where you have to grow, it's not just a matter of getting data, but now it's more of a nuanced thing of picking situations that will optimize your learning, optimize what you plan to do. And in those cases, there often are these prearranged connections, if you will, between friends who are particularly good at bringing out the best in each other. And or if you have a mission like you did, and you and your husband, something you had that you wanted to produce, something that you were going to make available to people, then that could be just part of the plan.
Now, you know, what's interesting, Tom, is that I agree that, you know, this is one of the things Jean said to me early on, you can't die. We have too much work left to do in our ministry. And, you know, ministry, I was raised by two Jewish atheists. I don't believe in God or the afterlife. What are you talking about? But it became clear to me that the message that he was giving me about our ministry is that he, with these over-the-top manifestations that continue, he's doing this in order for me to prove to people we don't die. And therefore, our relationships need not end in death. And what I'm finding, which is so interesting, is that when I speak to people on my Hay House radio show, and they have unfinished business with someone in spirit, what I'm seeing is that a lot of times these beings in spirit are hampered from completing their own spiritual development because they need to know, number one, that we're in peace and they are not in peace unless we resolve it with them. And they also need to be confronted by us in order for them to evolve spiritually. And so by bringing my conflict resolution method to the world of after-death communication, I'm helping people reconnect with their loved and hated ones in spirit and work out unfinished business that's been hanging around maybe 20, 30 years. Maybe that parent or that sibling or relative has been in spirit for decades. And right then and there, you know, I put them into a meditational state using my meditation for making contact, and we dialogue with that being in spirit and we work it out. So,
okay. Now, in this case, we have the other side. We just talked about the side where indeed you've planned this, and it's a thing between you and your husband, and it's this dialogue and these connections are going on. And that's one case. Now, the more common case is probably the things you're describing now. And I will, you know, I guess I'll run a little afoul of your description here. But the other thing that happens is that after you leave this virtual reality, you die here. What happens is that you plan another life, another opportunity to learn, and that's because learning is cumulative. You just don't get one shot to learn. You know, you can't learn. You can't learn B until you've learned A, and you can't learn C until you've learned both A and B. It's a cumulative sort of thing, particularly if what you're learning is to become love, and that's what we're here to learn.
Ain't that the truth?
And that's not a simple thing to do in a short amount of time. That's a thing that takes a lot of iterations. So what happens is when you die, take very long. You go through a little transition phase where you adjust to the fact that you've died, and then you kind of decide on what it is you need to do next and what you need to work on. And then you jump back in and get another avatar and continue your learning and growing experience. Okay. Now, there are two attributes with this virtual reality that are a little different than the World of Warcraft, and that is the virtual reality has two databases. One is the probable future database, which keeps track of everything that could possibly happen and the probability that it might. And then it's the past database that is everything, you know, that could have happened and the probability that it might have, as well as our history thread, which is just a kind of a trace through that big past database of what we actually did. Now, in that database, think of it as like a library, but it's not a library like you're used to. It's not like just words or pictures there, but the whole person is there. So the last lifetime of your husband, it's there in history as well. And that history is everything, every thought, every feeling, every inclination, all of it, everything. The only difference between your husband, consciousness that you're talking to now, and the consciousness that you live with, and your husband in the database, the only difference between them is the one in the database does not have free will. But other than that, they are identical. Other than that, they interact. You can talk with them. You can get data from them and information. You can ask them things. They can tell you their opinion about the current events. It goes on and on because it is them in everything they ever thought, did, felt, so on. You see, it's a probabilistic model of these people. So most of the time, the individual, the consciousness, moves on, gets back in the game. And if you go back and talk to that consciousness later, what you're talking to is this model of that being, which is in every way identical to that individual, except that it's not making free will choices. It's just interacting with you, but it doesn't make free will choices. So that's the only difference. So most of the time when you talk with people, you go back and you have that conversation with people in their life, you're having it in this database with them, and that's all their memory, again, all their thoughts, all their feelings, everything. And the other connection you can make is you can always connect to the larger consciousness system. And the larger consciousness system wants you to evolve, because as you evolve, it evolves. That's another part of the logic that I didn't have time, you see. Your evolution is its evolution, so it wants you to evolve. So if you've got this problem, this issue that you've never closed because there was this anger and then the person died and now you're stuck with the guilt and other things and you have to, and that is just eating away at you and you need to resolve that, then the larger consciousness system is going to connect you to that database or talk to you directly and impersonate you, well, if that character. Now, when I say impersonate, it's not that strange. After all of us are just pieces of this larger consciousness system. So in that sense, you know, the larger consciousness system is us, you see? So if you're talking to the larger consciousness system that is playing this character, because you need that in order to continue your growth, then, well, this other character really was just a piece of the larger conscious system to begin with anyway. You see what I mean? So when I say it's an impersonation, that's not really the same as we think of an impersonation. So that's what's typically going on. Now, with you and your husband, that's a possibility. It could be that you and the larger conscious system are having this, and it's in the form of the larger conscious system is playing the part of your husband. That may be the case, and you would never know. There wouldn't be any way that you could tell, because it's everything your husband was. You see, every detail. And it may be doing that so that you not only could get over your grief and deal with things, but you could go on to help a whole lot of other people see bigger pictures and deal with their grief. So that would be something that the larger conscious system wants to encourage, because your growth is its growth, because you're a piece of it. You see? Mm-hmm. So it could be either way.
What I see, and I, it's very clear to me, and it's hard to articulate this, but there is a clear sense of my husband's consciousness, as opposed to, like, if you want a database of old information and old mm-hmm. personality, it's a very clear consciousness from minute to minute of what's going on in my life, and in interaction with that, with a great right. sense of presence. Like I said, when I do an interview and I'll say something that he agrees with at that moment, you know, he mm-hmm. will cut the audio like he did yesterday, right when he agrees,
right.
or, you know, so it's very clear to me. It's like a very palpable, ongoing awareness,
right.
you know.
And in that case, I would say the higher probability is that you are dealing directly with this entity that was
yes.
your husband, or you can
oh,
say
yes.
is your husband. You're dealing directly with that entity. And the reason I would say that is because this was something that was planned. This is
yes.
part of a process that was planned from the beginning. So this being is, you know, just because your husband died didn't mean that the plan didn't go on. Actually,
no.
the death was in the plan.
It was
see,
in
because,
the plan. It had
right.
to happen that way
right.
so that then he could come through. And
so
like, for example, Tom, I went for a medical exam last Friday. And as I'm driving, I hear him saying to me, listen, I want you to know that I'm with you in the exam, but you don't need the exam. You're being sent there for another reason. So I get into the exam room, you know, with the robe on, your butt in the wind, because it opens mm-hmm. to the back. And I lay down on the table, and the operator says to me, this is very odd, but the computer that runs the test will not boot. So I say to her, you know, my energy field often makes machines turn on and turn off or not turn on. So I'm just going to leave the room, because at the moment I'm thinking it's me. So I go to the waiting room, and then I'm waiting. And finally I go back and I say, now that I left, did it boot? And she said, just as you said, it booted up. So now I get back on the table and I'm lying there, and she says, this is very odd. The machine will not work. The knobs won't operate, nothing. Now I realize that my husband made this happen because he wanted me to tell our story. Because this is the first thing he said to me after he left his body. Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So he was asking me to tell our story. So I tell the story, and she bursts into tears, and she says, oh my gosh, my mom died 1 year ago yesterday, and yesterday I was so bereft. So then I said to her, I realize he's making this manifestation not just for me, but for you, so that you will realize we don't die, and our beings, our spirit lives on, and this is for you. And as soon as now I have acknowledged him and this is why he did this, he'll let the computer and your machine work. And sure enough, Tom, as soon as I say it, he lets the machine work.
Sure.
But to prove his presence, he makes the light continue to flash for the remainder of the test, the light in the room.
Right.
So that's an example of what I'm talking about, that
right.
it's like a dialogue back and
right.
forth.
And because it's so interactive that way, that's mm-hmm. why I would say that in your case, it's not a, you know, it's not data from the you know, history database. You're interacting with an entity, a full entity with free will who's interacting yeah. with you, because that was part of the plan. And you
that
couldn't you couldn't explain to people about this being a larger reality. You couldn't make that point and open up the thinking, open up the concepts, blow the cobwebs out of people's minds if he was still alive. His
exactly.
death enabled you to do the things that you're doing now that's making a lot of difference to people. So that's mm-hmm. why it was part of the plan, and that's why it needed to happen that way. And now that it happened, then the two of you are still working together just as you always
yep.
had.
You exactly. See?
So
it's
that's
just
the way
work
that, yeah, that's the way
form.
That would work because it's two consciousness.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right, and it makes it so much more powerful.
Two consciousnesses, both in the larger consciousness system, both a part of that consciousness system, working together to, you know, produce an effect that helps people, a lot of people, see bigger pictures and grow themselves. You know, get rid of junk that's holding them back and grow themselves. Well, that's obviously a project worth doing. So it was planned and it's being executed. And there's, you know, my theory of consciousness and reality basically says no problem. Of course this can happen. That's mm-hmm. because you have a larger consciousness system that's operating with avatars in a virtual reality. And this digital system is very flexible. And whatever helps people grow up in this reality. That's why we're here, by the way. The reason we're in this virtual reality and playing these avatars is because we have a mission. We have a purpose, and that's to grow up, to become love. That's what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. You know, you and I are on the same path. You're coming at it from science, where I always say, you say this is a virtual reality learning lab. That's what you call it. Mm-hmm. And I call it our love lab. So we have been saying the same thing using mm-hmm. different words. Isn't that neat right. that yeah. our paths crossed? Let me just take a brief break. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask okay. Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
During the break, I was talking with my guest, Tom Campbell, and I was saying I'm glad that my avatar met your avatar, and we're really coming at this from completely different backgrounds. You know, you from the science background, me from the more emotional experiential, and you said truth is truth, which is the truth. So
It is.
It really is. And, you know, it's very interesting because I often say that out of our deepest core wounds, if we really look through the weeds, we find our purpose on Earth, you know? And I tell in Love Never Dies that I was born 3 months early and I spent the first 3 months in a preemie hospital. I was only 2 pounds at birth. And a psychic I know said to me that your ministry, your mission to connect souls was born then because you didn't want to see other people suffering the pain of disconnection that you felt. And so it's a very interesting thing that if you think about it, this plan for me to connect souls, not only to help people overcome the conflicts that block them from making their relationships as loving as possible. So now I'm just extending it to working out conflicts with those in spirit. It's all one continuous thread.
Sure. And I suspect that plan started even before before the fetus was initiated, and basically you just ended up in that physical situation because it focused you or oriented you in the direction you needed to be in.
To fulfill this mission.
Right.
Yeah. Now, it's a very interesting thing because we're kind of dancing around the topic of reincarnation. And I remember, you know, Jean and I never discussed religion. Like, I never read the Bible. I never went to church or synagogue. Mm-hmm. But I do remember asking him about reincarnation once. And the feeling that I got from him was he wasn't reincarnating, that he was just an enlightened being. He didn't put it that way because he was so humble, he wouldn't have said it. But he just said, that's not happening. And I only realized after he left his body that he wasn't going to reincarnate because this was part of the mission, that he would stay working with me on this ministry. Now, you talk about reincarnation as, you know, you'd step back into another body because from what I understand, you learn a lot better and quicker when you're in a human body.
Well, you learn from experience. Everybody knows experience is the best teacher, right? So you learn from experience, from making choices. We play an avatar. We play a human body avatar. And what we do is we have to animate that avatar. So we make all of the choices. And if those choices move us closer to becoming love, then those are good choices. And we prosper and life is good and full of joy. And if we make choices that move us toward fear being the opposite of love, then those aren't good choices. And they make our life, you know, full of unhappiness and struggle and upset that kind of thing. You know, we get angry. We have all those problems to deal with. So this is a learning lab because it's our choices. Here we have to make a choice, and we get to live with the consequences of our choices.
And you know, the thing is, every day you're being challenged in your intimate relationships especially, because nowhere do you get more pissed off than in your intimate relationships. So you're always being tested. Are you going to kill him and bury him in the backyard, or are you going to find that way of digging up the love within yourself.
Yes.
And,
relationships are the main thing. You see, we do have interactions with the environment, and how we treat other critters and that, but with the trees and the rocks and so on. But basically, our learning is about interaction with other people. It's about relationships, and it's a relationship with everybody. And when we have our relationships with our significant other, then those get deeper than our relationships with the people we work with. And out of that depth comes a lot of choices that will, show you what it is you need to do to grow up.
It's great that you say grow up, because that's really what it's about, growing up and controlling ourselves. Because when we like to dump our raw rage on the partner who's provoked us, it's like taking a poop on somebody's head or pooping in your diaper. It feels good. I got a release. But, every time you get your rocks off on somebody else, on the rocks is where your relationship ends up. So growing up, as you say, is learning how to not act on those angry impulses and consider the effect of your words and actions.
Right. And there's two levels there. One is you have to take responsibility. You can't say, that person makes me angry.
Oh, yeah.
That person doesn't make you angry. You choose to be angry.
Absolutely.
You could
Absolutely.
Choose to be some way else, to react in some other way, to interpret what just happened to you in some more positive way. But you choose to be angry. So that's one thing. We have to take responsibility and not always blame others for the way we feel.
That's a key idea here. For people, because when you get into an intimate relationship, your partner starts to remind you of the parent you had the greatest difficulty with, because that's part of your love lab, to work out what didn't go right in your deformative years. This is all grist for the mill. So let's just say, because, here we are, you're talking with Dr. Love. What's a parting thought for how, because I only have a minute on this, and then I want to make sure everybody knows how to find you. How does all this larger consciousness inform us beyond the take responsibility to make your life the best love lab you can make it? How does your theory of everything in larger consciousness tie into this?
Well, the reason that we need to become love is because in information terms, and this is an information system, that lowers entropy. And in a social system, the optimal way to lower entropy is by cooperation, caring.
There you go.
That
yeah.
sort of thing. See,
that's how the world
survives. Evolve.
Yeah.
So that's our purpose here. But it's not just to control that anger. It's to get rid of it. It's not like, I feel getting angry, but I'm going to control it and I'm going to smile and say something nice. It's that you don't ever even feel that impulse to anger. The anger isn't there. So it's not we just want to act better. We need to be better. And that's really what it takes. Acting isn't the solution. It's civilizing. It makes everybody around you feel better, but growing up requires fundamental change at the being level, not just That's understanding it. At the intellectual level.
The resolution. So the resolution of your stuff on the inside. So we only have a minute left. Let everybody know how they can find you, your books, your website. Give it all.
Okay. You can find my website at www.mybigtoe.com. And you can find, 125, 130 videos on YouTube. And if you go to YouTube and www.youtube.com/TWCJR44. Okay, that would get you to that. Otherwise, if you don't remember any of those things, just go to Google and put in Thomas Campbell or put in My Big Toe, and I will come up on the first page. And then you can go to websites and Google both from that point. I give a lot of lectures. I just getting back from France about a week ago. And if you want to know where I'm going to be next, go to www.mbtevents.com. That's kind of
awesome.
Where I am on the internet. And, of course, there's books. And the books can be bought in the usual places, but you don't have to buy the books. They're free on Google Books.
That's marvelous. That's really great. I'm so glad that you shared this hour with me. It was really wonderful having our avatars mingle in this way.
Yeah. And our consciousnesses interact with each other in this way.
Yes, yes. And keep in touch with me. And you're welcome back anytime. I loved knowing you today.
Okay, I'm sorry we couldn't get into any more depth in such a short time, but hopefully we said some things that made your readers take a double take, and they'll spend some time to look into it.
You'll come back. I won't say goodbye. I'll say I'll see you soon. That's all I have for you now.
I'll see you later.
See you soon. Bye.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com and follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and Facebook.com/AskDrLove.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.